Liberty, Christ is risen. This is Father John. Sorry we missed yesterday, but I want to do something brief with respect to the readings from yesterday for this recording. And then I'm going to make a separate recording for the readings for today. We'll actually we'll be answering a question about that came in about the Eucharist related to the gospel reading for yesterday. But before I do that, I want to say something which I've been told I should be saying. So as many of you may or may not know, here at the Initiative, we're seeking to establish a continuing organization, institution, to educate our children in an Orthodox manner. We're increasingly and continually bringing on new teachers so as to expand both our catechetical and academic offerings. Some of these offerings we've been able to do for free. Like you've seen this podcast, the story time, the virtual church school. Those represent free offerings that we have. And then other things that we've been doing, as you can tell from our website, we charge. And the reason we charge is to be able to compensate our teachers, because here at the Initiative, we have to simultaneously create an environment in which Orthodox teachers and students can thrive. In order for teachers to be teachers, they rely on students. And in order for students to be students, they rely on teachers. So we have to benefit both. So I've been told, and I'm not very good at doing this, but I've been told that I should, at the beginning and end of each of these podcasts, ask you to contribute. So if you are willing to contribute, however much you may be able to, whether it's little, whether it's a lot, whether it's monthly, however it may be, that would be very, very helpful to us. If you would like to do it by check, and you'd like to, you need a receipt for your taxes, you can contact us and we can do that for you. So if you'd like to contribute, please go to orthodoxlearninggoc.com/donate. That's orthodoxlearninggoc.com/donate. God bless you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us. All right. So let's deal with having done that. Let's get past that and talk about yesterday's reading. So yesterday's gospel reading was from John chapter 6. I'll go ahead and read it as usual. And then I want to address some questions that came in, right? All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So two questions that came in related to this passage was the following. First, was manna a prefiguration of the Eucharist? And two, when the Lord is talking about the bread of God, is he talking about the Eucharist? The short answers to these questions are yes and yes. But before we discuss it in a bit greater depth, let's have a look at a section from Blessed Theophylact's commentary on the same passage. So Blessed Theophylact tells us that they refer to manna, that is the Jews here in this passage, to, quote, spur him to perform another miracle that would feed their flesh, and their motive was gluttony. Again, this is Blessed Theophylact writing. How then does the boundless wisdom of God, our Lord Jesus, answer them? Moses gave you not that bread, which means Moses did not give you the true bread, for those miracles were merely types and foreshadowings of the truth now unfolding. Moses was a type of God, the true commander of the Noetic Israel, and that bread was a type of me, our Savior is saying. Like manna, I came down from the heavens, and it is I who truly nourish and truly exist from the beginning. Christ calls himself the true bread, not because manna was false, but because it was only a type and shadow, not truth itself. The true manna is the only begotten Son of God, made man, astounding as that is to say and hear. So there's a lot in here, and it's important to go over the concept of a type again. And we've mentioned this earlier, and we'll mention it again, because it's a very, very important thing from the scriptures, thing to understand about the scriptures. So usually when we think about prophecy, we think about the prophet, pardon me, says, thus and so will occur, and then it occurs. So we generally think about prophecy by word, and that's well and good, because it's obviously many of the prophecies that we see in the Old Testament or in the New Testament are by word. But a type is a prophecy by an event or a thing. In other words, God allows things in a certain way. The omnipotent, the all-powerful God allows things to occur in a certain way so that the things themselves or the people themselves foreshadow things to come that will be fulfilled in Christ. So for example, when Abraham is told to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac bears the wood going up the mount, accepting the sacrifice his father appeared to make or was going to make. Isaac serves as a type of the only begotten Son of God who sacrificed himself on the cross. Right? When Moses and the people of Israel go through the Red Sea and come through on the other side, having left the delusion of Egypt and going out to the place of liberation, passing through the Red Sea is a type of baptism. When Noah is in the ark, previously, of course, and he's kept safe in the ark from the flood, the tempestuous flood outside the ark. The ark is a type of the church. So now, in this case, we have the discussion of the manna and of Moses, of course. And manna was, of course, that food that fell from heaven when the Israelites or the Hebrews were sojourning in Sinai that God kept them alive with. And they couldn't tell what it was. So it said manna, which in Hebrew indicates what is it. So Moses is a type of God, but the manna itself is also a type of the Eucharist. But the manna itself, it's not that the manna was bad or that Moses was bad, but these were both things that were pointing toward what God would give with his incarnation, his passion, his resurrection, his ascension, with his institution of the holy mysteries. So the thing, notice at the beginning of the passage, it says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat, that food, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. We are to look for that heavenly bread. That heavenly bread is our Lord Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, it was understood that Holy Communion was the... In Holy Communion, we have the real presence of Christ's body and blood there for us to consume, there for us to be remade. Recall that when Adam fell, our nature was damaged, and this contagion, as it were, passed on to all subsequent generations, as St. Cyprian of Carthage made clear in his writings. And so we needed to be healed of this. And the deepest expression of that healing is what takes place in the communion of the body and blood of our Savior. And this is very important for us to yearn after, for us to labor for us to see that it's the central thing that our life should be centered, that it is the thing, excuse me, that our life should be centered around. The fact that we are presently deprived of it in our circumstances should be instructive for us. Certainly not a good thing, but certainly in and of itself. But we can use it for our instruction, because many times as Orthodox Christians, we've taken it for granted that we can go to Holy Communion. We've taken the services themselves for granted. We've labored for the things of this world, and we've labored after the cares, the many benefits or earthly comforts we can get, rather than laboring for the true bread which came down from heaven, even our Lord Jesus Christ, as found in the body, his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. So let us labor with renewed vigor. Renewed vigor for the meat which endureth, the food which endureth unto everlasting life, which is the holy body and blood of our Lord. And let us take this time of suffering and difficulty as a way of examining ourselves, of repenting, of realizing what we can lay aside, what is not actually necessary, to embrace the things of heaven and to turn our minds away from the things of earth. May we always remember this. Christ is risen. Amen.